going to focus on Christ as the bread of life. Christ, the bread of life. And it is a way in which Jesus Christ identified himself in John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 32 to verse 35. John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 32 to verse number 35. And I will read the Gospel. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." This conversation between Jesus and the people took place after Jesus had fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. It is the miracle of Jesus that is recorded in all the 4 Gospels, because there were so many people present and so many people experienced it, so many people saw it. It was an unavoidable miracle of Jesus Christ. After Jesus had fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread, the people wanted to make him king by force. It seems as if people wanting things for free didn't start today. So they were very happy that Jesus had provided them with bread, and they thought if he was king, if he was government, what a good government it will be. And Jesus, knowing their intentions, departed to a mountain to pray. And so they didn't see him for a while. In the night, Jesus walked on water to go and find his disciples who were struggling on the Sea of Galilee. The next day, the masses, the people who had been fed, were still looking for Jesus, because free bread is quite an attractive inducement. So they found Jesus and told him, "Lord, we're looking for you. Where have you been?" And Jesus says, "Well, I know why you are looking for me. You are not looking for me because of the signs or the miracles. You are looking for me because I gave you bread to eat." And Jesus then speaks to them about the bread. And the people say, "Well, we know that our fathers ate bread in the wilderness," and they're talking about the manna. Jesus says, "Yes, I know, but this bread that I give to you is more than what you ate in the wilderness." So there is a conversation going on between Jesus and the people. First, there is the bread they ate, and now they think that maybe this is like what they ate in the wilderness. Now, if you know what they ate in the wilderness, they ate manna for 40 years. So they're figuring out, if God gave them manna for 40 years and this is just day one, then we have a long way of bread eating. And so they said, "Jesus, give us more of the bread." Then Jesus says to them, "I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life." And this is the beginning of the many statements of Jesus where he uses the identifier, "I am." I am the bread of life. He later said, "I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the way," and so on and so forth. So, but here he says, "I am the bread of life." So what Jesus is saying is that the bread of life is a person. It's not food. It's not a commodity. The bread of life is a person, and it is Jesus Christ. He is the bread of life. Now, Jesus did not also say, "I have the bread of life. In other words, he doesn't possess the bread of life. He is actually the bread of life. So to partake of what Jesus gives, or of the bread of life, you don't wait for him to give you something. You partake of him. Jesus is the bread of life. And so, we will discuss a bit about what the bread of life is in the context of the passage we just read. The first thing we note about the bread of life is that the bread of life is divine. Jesus said, "This is the true bread that came from heaven. It is not earthly, it is not carnal, it is not physical, it is divine, and it is spiritual." Jesus called it the true bread. And Jesus contrasted himself with the bread that God gave Israel in the wilderness. They ate that for 40 years, and it was physical bread. But Jesus says, "I am the bread from heaven." This is divine bread. This bread is God's solution to human problems. The bread of life is heaven's solution to all human problems. In Christ Jesus, God reached out to us and gave us the solution we're looking for ourselves. So it's a divine bread. That's the first thing we note about the quality of the bread of life. It's not something physical you go out to buy on the market. The second thing, quality about the bread of life that Jesus talks about, is that it satisfies fully. Jesus says that he who eats of this bread shall never hunger nor thirst. If you eat it, you will never hunger or thirst. It's very interesting that he adds thirst to it when he's talking about bread, because bread is not water. But he's saying that when you eat of the bread of life, there will be no need in your life that will not be satisfied. He meets all of our needs. Naturally, when we eat bread, we thirst, because if you've tried it before, if you get a big loaf of bread and you munch on it, afterwards you need to push it down with some liquid. You have to drink some water. But Jesus says when you eat this bread alone without water, you will not hunger and you will not thirst. Jesus satisfies every need of ours. He fully satisfies us. And when he meets all our needs, there is nothing else that we need that he doesn't supply. He meets our need for self-esteem. He meets our need for significance. He meets our need for wholeness, for completeness, for wellness, spiritual needs, physical needs, mental needs. Jesus fully satisfies. And when you eat of him, there is no need in your life that he cannot satisfy. We don't only come to him just simply for salvation for our souls, but he fulfills every need of ours. So the bread of life is divine. The bread of life fully satisfies. The third thing about the bread of life is that it is for all. It is for everybody. Jesus said that the bread of life gives life to the world, not just for a few people. He gives life to everybody. We are reminded of what Jesus Christ himself said about his mission in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." Not "for God so loved Ghana and didn't love Togo," or "God so loved Togo and didn't love Nigeria," or "God so loved Nigeria and didn't love America." "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever means anybody, whether you are tall, You are short. I shouldn't say that. Some people don't like it. Vertically challenged. Whosoever is somebody who is long in height and not long in height. Whosoever is somebody who is narrow in body size and not narrow in body size. Because this time you have to be very politically correct. You can't call people with words they don't like. So, but the bread of life is for all. It's for everybody. Whether you're black or white, whether you went to school or didn't go to school, whether you are male or female, whoever you are, Jesus satisfies every need of ours. And he feeds all who come to him. If you look at the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, everybody was fed. Everybody was fed. There was nobody who would say, oh, I sat down, waited for my turn, but I didn't get my bread. Everybody was fed and there was leftover. God is able to bless you to a leftover, to a running over with extra that you can't even contain. God satisfies to the fullest. Jesus satisfies to the fullest and he satisfies all. All. There's no need you have that is beyond Jesus. There's no problem you have that is beyond Jesus. And when he satisfies you till there is no more room. And then there will be a running over. David says, my cup runs over. And in the miracle, there was a leftover basket of what has been ministered. God is not a God of scarcity. He's a God of abundance. He doesn't bless us small, because some has to be left for the next day. I mean, when we were kids, I don't know whether it's the same for everybody's family, but everything was very, very small. The bread is sliced. You don't break it. You cut it. And the margarine, not butter, margarine, was scooped very small. And you have to manage to spread it. The spreading is your responsibility. The sugar is measured in cubes. You get your portion, whether it's enough for you or not, that's your palaver. The milk, they punch the holes in the milk tin and poured out dispensationally into teaspoons. And if it's not enough, that's up to you. But that's not how Jesus is. When he pours the whole thing. And he pours the whole thing. When he cuts, he gives you everything. He gives your life all the sweetness. He gives you blessing and abundance, in abundance, in abundance, in abundance, in abundance. Your cup will run over and there will be 12 baskets full. He gives life to all. He satisfies all. He feeds all who comes to him. And there's no stinginess with his blessing. What a mighty God that we serve. Thank God he's not like my father or my mother who had to deal with scarcity. But I serve a God who has no scarcity. And he can do all things by the full measure. I don't know about you, but that's an exciting thought that God has no scarcity and he's not measuring your miracle in teaspoons. Oh yes, he's not measuring my miracle in teaspoons. God doesn't cut one slice of miracle. You take this. He gives me more. Until I want no more. Until we say, Lord, there's no more room. Feed us, Lord. Fill my cup, Lord. Until there's no more room. He's the bread of life. He gives life for all. The bread of life is eternal. He endures to everlasting life. He's eternal. What he gives to us is not short term. It's long term. It's eternal. And he offers us life in the natural and spiritual worlds. He offers us life in this life and in the world to come. It's eternal. When God touches our lives, it's long term. When he saves our soul, it's long term. We're not just saved temporarily, waiting for another installment, waiting for an upgrade or an update. When he saves us, it's complete, and it survives for this life on earth and life beyond the earth. The bread of life is eternal. Bread of life is divine. The bread of life fully satisfies. The bread of life is for all. The bread of life is eternal. So what must we do with the bread of life? What did Jesus want us to do with the bread of life? In verse 51 of the same passage or the same chapter in John chapter 6, Jesus says, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." Another word for my flesh is my body. The bread that I give is my body. Now, if you follow how this conversation is going, Jesus gave them bread by multiplying 5 loaves of bread. They followed him. They think this is manna. So they've improved it from the bread to the manna. And they think, well, it lasted for 40 years in the wilderness. We're probably going to have 40 years of bread supply from this gentleman. Jesus says, no, I'm not going to give you another bread like I gave you in the wilderness. Neither am I giving you what your fathers ate in the wilderness. I am the bread of life. So now he's progressing to say, it's not even about bread, it's about me. And now he's telling us the part of himself, which is the bread. And he says that is his body. His body is the bread. So what are we supposed to do with his body? He says he gives his life to the whole world. If he gives his life, what must be done with what he has given? And he says, we must eat the bread of life. We must eat the bread of life. That statement became a stumbling block to many of Jesus' disciples because they really couldn't figure out what Jesus meant by eat my body. Some took it literally. But you and I know that's not a literal statement, because in life we use thoughts like somebody speaks to you and you say, this is food for thought. It doesn't mean that the thought is food. It simply means this is something I need to spend time to think about and assimilate inside me. So we say it's food for thought. It's a metaphor. Jesus is saying, my flesh is bread. Doesn't mean go and come and bite me. That's not what he said. There are verses in the Bible that talks about the word of God or Christ as food. 1 Peter 2:2 says, like newborn babes, we must crave the sincere or pure milk of the word so that we may grow thereby. The word of God is called milk. Psalm 119 verse 103, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 15:16, when your words came, I ate them, and they were my joy and my heart's delight. So how do we eat the flesh of Jesus? How do we eat his flesh? 3 ways, and then we close. First, is to fully accept what Jesus says about himself. If we're going to eat his flesh, we have to accept fully what he says about himself. He says, I am, and whatever he says I am, we have to accept it. We have to accept he's the bread of life. He's our satisfier. He's all that we need. We must fully accept what Christ says about himself. That's the first step to eating his flesh. Secondly, we must fully receive the fullness of Christ into our being. Not just fully accept him, but fully receive the fullness of Christ into his being. He did not give part of himself. He gave all of himself. In John chapter 1 verse 16 he says, and of his fullness we have all received grace for grace. We cannot receive grace for grace if we are just receiving part and not the full thing. He fully offered himself for our salvation. And that is the bread we must eat and swallow. He fully offered himself for our deliverance from the power of sin. And this is bread we must eat and swallow. He fully offered himself to triumph over all principality. And this is bread we must eat and swallow. He fully offered himself to make us accepted in the Father, and that is bread we must eat and swallow. He fully offered himself to purchase our healing. It is bread we must swallow. He fully offered himself in poverty that we might be made rich, and this is bread we must eat and swallow. Everything he is, we must accept it and fully assimilate it. He's our healer, he's our provider, he's our deliverer. He has triumphed over principalities and power, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. To eat what Christ offers, we must accept what he says about himself, receive the fullness of Christ into our being, and finally, we must allow Christ to manifest himself through us. His love, his beauty, his glory, his truth, his power, his authority, all must be seen in our lives. So today, as we partake of Holy Communion, we remind ourselves of the bread of life. Maybe you've forgotten who the bread of life is, but today we remember who the bread of life is. He's the divine bread that came from heaven. He's the divine bread that fully satisfies every need of ours. He's the divine bread that reaches out to everyone everywhere and does not limit how far he can take us. And he's the divine bread who is eternal. This bread never, ever ends. And we'll receive all of that into our lives.